I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time to either drive to work at home edition. I like to use the time to do interviews. So today I have just dunked the Magic Rules Architect. We're going to talk about something that either I think some of you don't know or you've heard of, but don't know exactly how it works, which is we're going to go into layers today, which is a very important, but I will say somewhat complex rules topic. So before we dive into that, Jess, Magic Rules Architect, that's a new title for you. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I was promoted to Magic Rules Architect I think last year sometime, and it's the main difference between Rules Manager, which is the title I held before, is kind of I lead the we have a team now that handles rules management as opposed to just one person. I lead the work that that team does, and I tend to do more work now with interfacing with other teams about how ma things in Magic touch the Magic rules. Our team, by the way, is Eric Levine and Eliana Rabinowitz. They are fantastic at doing rules management work. I love working with them. They're great.
Okay, so my intro today is one of the reasons that layers is very important from a magic design standpoint is there are things we can't do.
Yes.
And here's the classic example I give, which is if I want to make a spell that says all blue creatures gain flying, I can do that, no problem. I can make that spell. But if I want to make a spell that say all flying creatures are blue, all of a sudden, no, I can't do that. And a lot of people don't understand. You can do anything. Why can't you do that? And the answer is, well, so there's something in the game called continuous effects. So let's talk a little bit about what are continuous effects?
So a continuous effect sounds pretty straightforward. It's any effect that's ongoing for some amount of time. And this can be something where there's a permanent on the battlefield that has a static ability giving a continuous effect, like creatures you control have +1/+1 is a continuous effect. But also it can be created by an instant or sorcery like Giant Growth, which when it resolves creates a continuous effect that target creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn. Both of those are continuous because they're ongoing past the point where something resolved. So that's what a continuous effect is. And we just, I hope I'm not jumping the gun here too much, but like layers are just the system that we have to determine how continuous effects work. So like in math, for example, if you're doing a complex math equation, you will have learned the order of operations in math, right? You always do things in the parentheses before other things and so on in the order of operations. And layers is just that for magic's effects. There's always an order we do them in.
Yeah, I mean the thing to understand is basically there has to be an answer in the game. If A and B are both there, how do we know the order that A and B happen? And my perfect example, talking about the blue and flying, is either the creature is determined to be blue first or determined to be flying first. And that so the reason we can go one direction but not the other direction is let's say I want to make this spell that says all flying creatures are blue. Well, it's important the game determines what's flying and what's not before it determines what's blue and what's not. And as we will see, that's not the order that it goes in.
Yeah, and that order is set up to try and make the game as intuitive as possible. The example I always like to use, it's some old cards involved, but the example I always like to use is Bad Moon and Darkest Hour. And Bad Moon says your black creatures get +1/+1, and Darkest Hour says that all of your creatures are black. Intuitively, players know that now all their creatures are black, so they should all get +1/+1. But it's actually the layer system enforcing that. If we just went in the order of which one entered the battlefield, you could end up in a weird result where you have to calculate your black creatures getting +1/+1 before the other ones becoming black, and then they don't get +1/+1, and it would be confusing.
So let's talk real quickly about timestamp. You brought up a good thing. So timestamp is the concept that your spells entered some order. You want to talk a little bit about how the game handles timestamp?
So timestamps, every object, every continuous effect has a timestamp, basically. That's just the time that it entered the battlefield relative to everything else, or the time that an effect was created relative to everything else. If you have two effects that we say are in the same layer, which we'll get into what that means, but with two effects that are in the same layer, you order them based on their timestamp, the time that they happened. But if they're different kinds of effects, so for example, changing a creature's color versus giving it +1/+1, we don't apply those in timestamp order because we apply them in this layer system we're about to talk about.
Right. And the reason for that, the reason the layer system exists in the first place is intuition, right? We
Well,
want
it's
the game
mostly
to work
intuition.
the way we players think it will work.
So without going too deep on it, prior to 8th edition, there was a very complex system where everything, like every single effect, was kind of basically determined to be dependent or not on other effects. And it was very hard to, when you had a complex game state, it was very hard to figure out how it even worked, even for people that were really in the weeds on it. And that was replaced with the layer system, which has largely been helpful for making the game intuitive where possible.
Okay, so one just a little bit of a caveat before we jump into the layers. Let's talk, what is a characteristic defining ability?
So a characteristic defining ability is a fancy term we use for any ability that a card has that tells you something about the card, defines it for you. The famous example is power and toughness. So like a card like Tarmogoyf tells you what its power and toughness is in its text box, and then it's got a little asterisk in its power and toughness box because that ability is defining the characteristic of its power and toughness. So if something is if ha something has an ability that was printed on the card, not one it gained later, was printed on the card that tells you what it is, and it's not like a triggered or activated ability, it's usually a characteristic defining ability. And those things are importantly always considered before any other effects, regardless of like timestamp or anything like that.
Okay, the one last vocabulary word before we jump in. This one I know we're going to touch lightly, but I just want to talk about what is a dependency?
Dependency, yeah. I actually briefly mentioned this slightly earlier, but a dependency is when one effect is dependent on another effect. So as I mentioned, sometimes when you apply things in timestamp order, you would get an unintuitive result. And if two things are in the same layer, which we'll talk about what that means in a second, but if two things are in the same layer, sometimes one effect can change what another one does. And the most obvious example of this is that if you have an effect, let's say you have a creature that says all your creatures have trample on it, and then you have another effect that removes abilities from the first creature. If you were to apply those just strictly in the timestamp order, everything would get trample before this creature loses its ability, which doesn't make sense and is not intuitive. So the fact that you can't apply them in the timestamp order, that's just called a dependency, because whether or not this the creature that says all your creatures have trample can actually do anything is dependent on whether or not the ability exists. And that so we ignore the normal order and we say, okay, what's it dependent on? And we make that work. Now, dependencies are actually quite rare and somewhat complex, and they only exist again to enforce that intuitive end result, because you would not think, well, all my creatures have trample, but this doesn't have the ability. That's a very unintuitive thing to think. In fact, if you're listening now, you're probably having trouble following that, because it wouldn't make any sense for it to work that way.
Okay, so let's jump in. So the idea of layers at the very brief concept is we have to have an order for continuous effects that we want to apply them in the most intuitive order possible. And so what we've done is the rules are they're broken into seven different layers, and then some of them have sub layers. We'll talk about that a little bit. So let's start with layer one. So layer one.
Before
Oh,
sorry,
sorry,
just
go ahead.
before we jump into that though, I actually you mentioned something I want to kind of highlight, is that they're done in this particular order, but they're done constantly. So every time anything happens in the game, all of these effects are reevaluated to see what things look like. So it's not like layers are, we figure out the order once and then until end of turn it's that way. It's just every time that just there's a constant calculation going on by the game. Anyway, sorry, you were going to talk about layer one. Go
Okay,
ahead.
so layer one is copy effects, copy and mutate effects. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well,
In
layer
fact,
one is
layer one is
that's
I guess
actually.
it's listed A and B, so it also talks about face down.
So layer one has two separate sublayers for a reason you'll understand momentarily. One is the copy effects and mutate effects. Copy effects are like clone, where it enters the battlefield and becomes a copy of something else. And mutate is a mechanic from
Aquaria.
the Aquaria set. Both of those things happen in the same layer, and they define kind of what its base characteristics are. When you play a clone, it just copies whatever's printed on the thing it's cloning, or if you clone another clone, whatever it was already copying. And then the second thing that you were about to mention, this is the other sublayer, which is effects that turn things face down. This is also kind of setting its base characteristics, but has to be determined after any of those copy effects.
And the reason,
Otherwise,
real
you would get
quick,
a.
the reason copy effects come first is those copy effects might copy other continuous effects.
Yeah, we don't generally want them to do that. That isn't how it's historically been done. And so copy effects, you know, if you've played a lot of Magic, you know that copy effects don't copy like plus one counters, for example. If you play a clone, it's not going to copy the counters on the card that you're copying. And if copy effects happened later in the rule or in the layers process, they might do that.
Okay.
So yeah, basically copy effects copy but only what's printed on the card and not any of the other effects.
Right. So they don't want, because cards can get other qualities to them, we don't want to copy those other qualities. Okay. So the very first thing we do is copy and mute it. So the second layer is control changing effects. What does that mean?
I mean, those are very straightforward. The control changing effects are things like Act of Treason, which takes over a creature for a turn, or Mind Control, which takes over a creature as long as you know it and the Mind Control are on the battlefield. Any kind of control changing effect is applied here, and you know most control changing effects are pretty straightforward. They really only do one thing, which is set control for somebody.
Okay, and it just determines who has it.
Yeah, just determines who has it. This comes after copy effects because there are sometimes abilities on a card that can determine who controls it. So you when you copy something like that, you want that ability to work properly. So we need to determine if something is a copy before we can determine who controls it. There aren't very many cards in Magic that do that. Most of them are old, but that is the reason for the order.
Okay, so number three, another thing we don't do that often these days
Yeah.
is text changing effects.
Yeah, text changing effects in modern Magic are very limited. They do exist. Famously, like Exchange of Words from Unfinity does
Yeah.
this, so there are a couple others. Mostly nowadays they're things like Overload. Overload
Yeah.
does change the text of the card when you pay its overload cost. Text changing effects are just that. This sometimes the sleight of mind will change, you know, the color word, for example. We don't do it very often nowadays, but they live right after control changing effects. And after significantly after copy effects, which again is important.
Okay, so layer number four is type changing effects. What does that
Yeah.
mean?
So type changing effects, this is where we start to get to the really interesting stuff. Most of the weird stuff that can happen in layers tends to happen in layer four. A type changing effect is any effect that changes the super types, card types, or subtypes of a card. So it might make something legendary or not legendary. It might make it an artifact instead of a creature. It might make it have all creature types. Changeling is an example of a type changing effect that is also a characteristic defining ability, something we mentioned earlier. So it's a static ability on the card that changes all of its creature types. Well, it gives it all of its creature types, I should say. And it lives here in layer four. And also, something that comes up a lot is changing land types can happen here as well.
And so why is this sitting here? People understand the ordering.
Yeah, so the ordering, I mean, after you have copy effects and text changing effects, you don't want to have type changing effects after those things, as those can sometimes be influenced by that. But more importantly than that, it's coming before a lot of the other stuff we have. We have tons of effects in Magic that will affect power and toughness, or add abilities, or change colors based on what a creature type is. So we need to be determining the types for permanents before we get into any of those other things. So this is situated in this spot so that it can be before all of those other effects.
Okay, layer number five is color changing effects.
Color changing effects are effects that change the color. Again, very straightforward. And they're situated here. Again, sometimes your color can be influenced by a card type or a creature type. and your color can a permanent's color can change what abilities it has. So you might have a card that says red creatures have haste, for example, and we need to know that something is red before we get to that point.
Yeah, we're now getting into my example from the very beginning. The reason blue creatures can gain flying is, okay, level five, we say they're blue. Which we segue into level into six. So six is ability adding and removing effects. And so
This is,
this we'll walk through what this is.
yeah, ability adding and removing effects is anything that causes something to gain an ability. Like if you have something that says your creatures have flying, as you mentioned earlier, that's an ability adding effect. Anything that says something loses abilities can cause any ability to be lost. And this can sometimes have unintuitive results, especially if you're removing a characteristic defining ability from earlier in the layers. One thing that people ask about sometimes is changeling. Why can't we grant changeling to something? If you look at cards like Mutavault, for example, Mutavault, people think of it as something that gains changeling when you activate it, but it actually doesn't. The text of the card says it gains all creature types. Because if you added changeling in layer six, that's after we've determined the types of the card, and changeling weirdly just wouldn't do anything. So one of the things we can't do because of this layer system is grant changeling to something and have it work intuitively. So we just don't. But generally speaking, there are tons of things that add abilities based on something's basic characteristics, such as whether or not it's face down, what it is, what it's a copy of, and its types, especially. Sometimes it's colors. So it has to be after all of those things, but we do end up with some unintuitive cases.
So real quick, I'm using this as my sole example of. So if we say all blue creatures gain flying in level five, anything that turns things blue would turn them blue in five, and then we get to six. Okay, well everything you expect to be blue is blue. Now all those things can gain flying. But if we take the
Or if you
reverse and
do
we
it, yeah.
say everything with flying is blue, by the time we get to the thing that cares about what gains flying, we're past the thing that cares about color. So. You would assume if I told you all flying creatures become blue, you would assume every creature with flying is now blue, and that's not the case. That wouldn't necessarily be the case.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be the case. And you implied, but I want to explicitly state one thing that's true about these effects is that when you're implying these effects in the layers, you only apply them once. So we would never go, okay, we'll apply this effect in layer six. Oh, we are layer five. We got to layer six, and now we need to go back and check something. The game rules don't do that. They only apply each effect once. So if we did have something that said all of your creatures with flying are blue, it wouldn't affect anything that had gained flying properly.
Right, and that's the issue with the layers is, you just will get non-intuitive things. It's like you're
There's a
saying
ton
with
of stuff.
changeling, granting changeling, everyone thinks they know how that works, but it wouldn't actually work the way they think it
It
works.
doesn't, and it would be intuitive for it to work that way. Unfortunately, the system of layers does create some design constraints that are really hard to get around. And if we could build something that was both understandable and solved that problem, we would. I've tried. I've spent a fair portion of the last 5 years at Wizards trying to figure out if there's something better we can do. The system is very entrenched in Magic, especially with some old stuff, and it is very good at creating intuitive outcomes most of the time, but it does have some of those design constraints.
Okay, so let's get to so layer seven is power and toughness effects. But there's actually four different sublayers of this. So okay, so first is effect from power toughness affecting characteristic defining abilities.
So the example of Tarmogoyf that I mentioned earlier is exactly this. It's a characteristic defining ability that sets its power and toughness. Now you always apply characteristic defining abilities before anything else in a la in that layer. So this is almost kind of a reminder to do that. The sublayer is just like pointing out that it's really important for that to happen.
Okay, so layer B, apply any power toughness setting effects.
This is any effect that's going to say like, that creature is a 0/0, or that creature is a 2/2. That doesn't say like +2/+2. It just sets what its power and toughness is.
And give you an example of that.
Like classic examples are things like turn to frog, which I think makes it a 1/1, if my memory
Yeah,
is
I
correct.
believe that card.
That's going to override. You play turn to frog on Tarmogoyf, it's going to make it a 1/1 because it's applied after that characteristic defining ability. But then you get in, you could still add other effects later on. Like if you played Giant Growth on it, which we're about to get into, if you played Giant Growth on it earlier, it's still going to continue to get that +3/+3.
Okay, so C is apply any power toughness changing effects that don't that doesn't set it and change from counters. Sorry, what does that
Yeah, no,
mean?
that's several things at once. There used to be a separate sublayer for counters some years ago. So like +1/+1 counters, but we just combined that with other effects. So that giant growth effect I was talking about lives in the same layer as +1/+1 counters. So anything that set that changes a creature's power and toughness without setting it is then applied after the things that set power and toughness.
And that's mostly that's effects. So this is where the plus n plus,
Yeah.
plus n
That's
type stuff.
this is some of the most common effects in Magic, is things that change power toughness. It comes up all the time. So if something gives +2/+0, it's applied here. If something puts a +1/+1 counter on something, it's applied here. This is all the vast majority of effects in Magic touch this layer.
And then D is effects that switch power and toughness,
Yep.
something we've been told not to do. So.
Yeah. So D is effects that switch power and toughness. It sounds fairly straightforward when I say it's the last thing that's applied. So you always apply every other effect, and then you apply switching power and toughness. As soon as I say that, generally people go, "Yeah, that makes sense. I understand how that works." And then when you go through an example of it, they go, "Wait, no, I didn't understand how that works. That came out unintuitively." So we don't tend to do it these days because it can be fairly confusing. And I could give an example, but it is confusing, which is that let's say I give a 2/2 creature, you have a 2/2 bear cub, and I give it +1/+0. And then I play something that switches its power and toughness. Now, so far, this is straightforward. If you give it +1/+0, it's a 3/2. If you switch its power and toughness, then it becomes a 2/3. That part's straightforward. And then I play another effect that gives it +1/+0. Now, because we're not doing these in timestamp order, because these are separated into layers, we're going to apply that +1/+0 before we apply the power and toughness switching. So it won't be a 3/3, which is what a lot of people would have expected. It will actually be a 2/4. And that's weird. And that's one of the reasons that we don't do it as much anymore, is that it has these unintuitive outcomes, especially with combat tricks.
Yeah, one of the things we've learned is, I mean, from behind the scenes, whenever we're doing things that lead to unintuitive consequences,
Yeah.
we try not to do those things to try to lessen the unintuitive consequences.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. I mean, I would
yeah.
say a fair portion of layers aside, a fair portion of our team's job is to look at things and say, okay, but there's this weird corner case. How often is this going to come up? Does this matter? Do we really want to do this? And that's a fun puzzle to be solving.
Yeah, and so from a design end, there's a lot of little things I have learned. Like, I don't know layers nearly as well as Jess does because this is Jess's job, but I do know where I get in trouble. Like, I know what I can't do because layers get us into trouble. One of the classic examples is you want to do some effect that, like, I want to grant you abilities from a graveyard, right? Like, I want to do something. I've learned that making them triggered and not static. Not continuous makes it a lot easier for us to do things where if at the beginning of some step I grant something, I can do that without causing problems. But if I try to make continuous, it'll end up not working the way you think it'll work.
Yeah, that can definitely happen. So let me think. I'm trying to think of a good example off the top of my head, but oh yeah, an obvious example is something like creatures you control with 10 power have trample. That's not a static ability that can work because the power and toughness layer is after the ability granting layer. So when we go to grant the abilities, we haven't calculated yet what its power toughness actually is based on all the effects. So it wouldn't apply to the right set of creatures. But if you make it a triggered ability, then instead of constantly updating the set of things it applies to, when that triggered ability resolves, we ask the question once, okay, what things have to have 10 power? Okay, that's what this applies to. Those creatures get trample, and those creatures will continue to have trample regardless of what happens to their power. Like something else could happen to their power later and they'll still have trample. But the fact that we're not constantly trying to evaluate which things have 10 power makes that feasible as a one-shot triggered ability, as opposed to a static ability that's always trying to figure out what it applies to.
Yeah, another real common trick we use is if we want to do something that's power toughness switching, instead of actually switching power and toughness, we will do plus n minus n. Like we will just hardwire in what the change is rather than say it switches power and toughness.
Yeah, there are a few things that happen like that, where we say, it gets plus n minus n. That is a little bit wordy, unfortunately. But there are a few ways that we do that.
Well, what I'm saying is, let's say I have a 1/5 creature. Instead of swapping its power or toughness, if I give it plus four,
Oh,
minus
yeah.
four, now it's a 5/1 creature. Everyone understands that. And it does work in the system, in the layers, in the right way, in a way that doesn't cause non-intuitiveness. And that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of understand. Like I said, my job is not to have the complete. I understand layers enough to know what cards will make that cause problems and cause unintuitiveness. And then we can avoid that by there's little things we can do to avoid the unintuitiveness by understanding the system and not making things that sort of lean into the non-intuitive parts.
Absolutely. There are actually t a ton of those. And so when we run into a problem where we see a design that maybe wants to do something in the wrong order, we'll often come to a designer with a menu of options and be like, here's how we can do this that doesn't create a problem in the layers. Do you want one of these effects? And usually the answer is, yeah, that's fine. Power toughness switching is a weird one, and can create those same situations.
Yeah. So anyway, any final thoughts as we walk through, like when well, we should say this. If people who want to know more about this, who this touches some interest in them, but obviously we just briefly touched upon it, what means do people have to learn more about the layer system?
If you're the kind of person that really wants to delve into this, you could start, but we have the comprehensive rules document that you could start looking in there. But if you're in between wanting to do that, which is a daunting document to look into, and listening to the intro to layers that we've talked about here, sometime in the, I'm not sure of the exact timing that it's going to go up, but sometime in the next month-ish, the rules team has an article that's going to be published on our website about that. And I think that's a great place to look into a little bit more about how the layers work. And it's also more likely going to be easier to follow when you're reading text and looking at examples as opposed to in an audio format where you're trying to track all these individual things that we mentioned.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, the most of today, what I'm hoping to do is just give people some general awareness. Layers is complex enough that I have no one like listens to this and go, I got it. I got all layers. And a lot of what we're not really going into today, but a lot of I know the rules team's job is the non-intuitive part of it. And how do we like a lot of our job is if we're doing our job correctly, you can ignore most of layers because everything we're doing works the way you think it will work.
And that's 100% true. The vast majority of the situations where people hear about layers are because something happened unintuitively. The layer system works to make the game intuitive most of the time, which means that it's invisible most of the time. And so the times when it becomes visible, people are like, oh, this is weird. Why do we have this system? And it's like, because it makes 99% of magic work intuitively, but this 1% is weird. A lot of our job is to kind of hone in on how do we make magic intuitive? How do we avoid those issues you were talking about where it gets confusing.
So anyway, I want to thank Jess for joining us today. Like I said, the goal of today really was to take something that's a pretty complex topic and give some introductory, give you guys some general working knowledge of it. Next time someone says layers, should they go, "Oh, I at least understand what layers are." Maybe all the intricacies aren't quite known yet, but you understand the generality of what it is.
Yep, just an order for how we apply effects, and I think it's a surprisingly good system, even though it has some design constraints. I appreciate you having me on, Mark. It's always a pleasure to talk.
Well, thank you so much. I've had Jess on from time to time. He's one of my most frequently requested guests. There's
Oh,
lots
I
of
didn't know
cool
that
topics
actually.
that
That's
people
awesome.
want to hear. And so I plan to have Jess on again because there's many more complex rule topics to talk about. So thank you, Jess, so much for joining us.
You're
And to
welcome.
everybody else, I can see my desk. So we all know what that means. It means it's my end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.